Jennifer, thanks for joining me on the show. Lovely to be talking to you.
Thanks a million for having me, Amber. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Delighted to chat to you. So I think all of our listeners will be probably very well aware that over the next couple of weeks or so, Christmas parties are going to be in full swing. But for HR managers, there's probably a lot for them to think about, Jennifer, at this time of year, is there?
Absolutely. I think the workplace Christmas party is a fantastic way to celebrate milestones that have been reached throughout the year and for everyone to come together to have a nice team bonding type event. But equally from a HR perspective, definitely there's planning involved to make sure they're safe, inclusive and compliant with employment laws.
Okay. And I suppose the Christmas party, as you mentioned, it's a great time to celebrate staff and the different achievements of them and of the businesses, I suppose, depending on what it is over the year, and to thank everyone for what they've done over the past year. But I suppose, as you said as well, despite it being a celebration, there's still different expectations when it comes to behaviour that people need to apply with when they are a Christmas party. So can you talk us through, I suppose, you know, that kind of stance and how they're expected to act, I suppose, or what would be classed maybe as gross misconduct, for example?
Definitely, no problem. So I suppose looking at the legislation, we're looking at the Employment Equality Acts. We're also looking at the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work Acts. And they're the kind of two most relevant employment legislation that kind of apply in this situation and something that all employers have to be mindful of when planning that Christmas party. So I suppose what I would say is from an expectation point of view, I suppose it's always about setting those expectations and having guidance around behaviour, etc., when planning a Christmas party. So it's things like reminding staff that workplace policies exist and they still apply during social events because they are work-related events. This can be done in a very simple and straightforward way, something such as sending a pre-event email outlining acceptable conduct and perhaps consequences for breaches of that conduct, and, you know, perhaps a reminder around alcohol limits, having respect for colleagues and the fact that there's a zero tolerance for violence, bullying and harassment. And I suppose where things can go wrong and what you've mentioned, Amber, is gross misconduct. And I suppose that is a behaviour that is very severe and ultimately justifies immediate dismissal. So, of course, no one wants that situation to happen. But unfortunately, we have all heard of scenarios where something has happened at a party or a workplace event that needs to be managed and dealt with in the coming days. And I suppose in terms of gross misconduct, that can be something like bullying or harassment. It can look like violence or aggression. Can be the use of an illegal substance or may even link to excessive drinking that leads to behaviours that sober employees might not usually engage in.
Okay, yeah, no, that's interesting. And I suppose in terms of even before you even get to the party itself, we'll say the terms of planning it in advance as well, Jennifer, there's a lot for HR managers to take into account, especially, I suppose, you know, we're living in a very inclusive society at the moment, obviously, which is fantastic to see. But I suppose that kind of transpires when it comes to the Christmas party as well. And it goes across that that event must also be inclusive and accessible for all employees as well.
Definitely. And I think as you mentioned there, we're a very inclusive country and I suppose have welcomed many different types of people from many different walks of life and nationalities and people that celebrate different types of events and have various religions, etc. I think from that point of view, it's, you know, choosing a venue that's accessible to all and equally having an activity that is available to all is important. Equally being mindful of cultural and religious differences and that not everyone celebrates Christmas. So it's keeping the event as a welcoming event for all. I suppose you also have to consider that not everyone might like an alcoholic beverage. So it's having options available for individuals that may not engage in that. And also being mindful of dietary accommodations for those with perhaps celiac disease, those with allergies, etc. And I suppose the last point maybe to mention there is that ensuring all staff are invited. So many businesses will have people that are out on sick leave or people that are on maternity leave, and it's just making sure to extend the invitation to all.
Okay, yeah, that's great to hear. You spoke about alcohol there, I suppose, and when it comes to consuming alcohol maybe at the Christmas party, Jennifer, is it the company that's responsible for ensuring that people drink responsibly?
There's definitely a duty of care on the company at work-related events, even though they are outside of normal office hours for sure. And I think, you know, if that alcohol is freely available at a work event, it can lead to problems that we mentioned earlier related to gross misconduct. So I think there definitely is an onus on the company to make sure that they are encouraging responsible drinking and perhaps considering limiting free alcohol. That can be done by again, very simple measures like drinks limits or providing drinks tokens at the events, equally making sure that there's food available. So I think feeding people is a great way to kind of keep the flow of that event going. Also having water and the non-alcoholic beverage options available for people at the end of the night. Look, of course, people are going to engage in having a drink or two. So it's looking at perhaps safe transport options, especially if Christmas parties are held remotely or outside of the regular kind of town of work, making sure that people get home safely.
Yeah, that's very good advice actually as well. You spoke of the duty of care there, Jennifer, as well. And that's something I think that probably everyone will know. It does extend, I suppose, to work-related events as well, even if they are outside of office hours. But again, just important, I suppose, that people do remember that at this time of year as well, when they are probably looking ahead or planning the Christmas party or maybe attending it this weekend.
Most definitely. And I think it's important to remember that this is a work event and this is an event that needs to be managed by the company and make sure that everyone is safe, has a good time, and that again, that kind of area of misconduct doesn't come into play. I think in terms of any incidents that may arise, it's dealing with those in line with company policy, making sure you have people on the night who are kind of aware and who are able to kind of engage should something occur, having escalation paths for medical issues, for example, or if a situation of misconduct does arise, maybe having someone dedicated that might step in to help to manage the situation immediately before, I suppose, managing that then in detail once you've returned to work in the coming week.
Yeah. And I suppose something that I find interesting as well, obviously, you know, social media, I suppose, it plays such an important part and such a big role in our lives now these days. Is there kind of an added element there now for HR managers when it comes to the Christmas parties because of social media? Is there another kind of area that they need to look at maybe when they are planning ahead? And even, I suppose, more importantly, on the night itself then?
Definitely. I think that is something that could be advised in that kind of pre-event guidance email is kind of, I suppose, to be aware that, again, this is a company event and I suppose not to post inappropriate content that could harm the company's reputation, number one, but equally that could breach an individual's privacy. So it's being mindful of what's being posted online and what's being shared because, again, it is you're putting your foot forward on behalf of the company. So it's always kind of being mindful of that and remaining cognizant of that throughout the event for sure.
Yeah. And you spoke about maybe working ahead and preparing for like the maybe if there was a medical emergency, for example, on the night or something. It sounds to me anyway that it's kind of like that this is a work event, obviously, as you said, but it's taking place maybe outside of the office, but it's technically nearly run as if it is in the office that, you know, you need to have someone, I suppose, that is aware and knows what's happening and has those plans in place. We'll say if there was an emergency that someone knows how to act and what to do.
Exactly, absolutely, because as you say, it very much is a work event. So I suppose the rules of work still apply. And I suppose, you know, having emergency contact details available, again, kind of knowing how to respond to a complaint promptly on the night as well would be good.
And Jennifer, just before you finish up, if there was any issues, we'll say on the night, maybe someone had a complaint or something happened that they weren't happy about and they wanted to raise it, would it be the case that they should raise it maybe on the night, or would it be better for a manager to organise a follow-up maybe the week after to talk about it in more detail, I suppose, when maybe the dust has settled a little bit?
I would suggest maybe initially raising that on the night, kind of at a high level, if something needs to be actioned immediately, most certainly that should be highlighted on the night. But equally, then I would say that the more in-depth investigation and formal procedural piece, including disciplinary or grievance, should not happen on that night per se. It should happen once you're returning to work post-event.
Okay. And I suppose it's important, and we said it at the start as well, Jennifer, that this is a celebration, I suppose, and it's a way to thank employees and to celebrate the success of businesses over the past year as well. So it's not that anyone, I suppose, wants to be kind of down on people either at these events, but it's just important, I suppose, that everyone is able to enjoy it in a safe way and this, you know, that no issues, I suppose, do arise really, and that, you know, everyone is prepared for potential issues if they do arise, but that it all runs smoothly, really. And that's the aim of these kind of rules and procedures, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's more to be aware and to have the forward planning done to try and prevent anything going wrong so that everyone can enjoy themselves and have a great night. And that I suppose you're not in a position where you are dealing with a situation that no one wants to be in the coming weeks after that. But it's again having the procedures in place to support should that be necessary to deal with. But equally, as you say, Christmas parties should be a positive event and they should be something that people enjoy and look forward to.
Yeah, they certainly should. Well, Jennifer, thanks so much for taking the time. Just before we finish up, if anyone wants to find out a little bit more or maybe talk to yourself about, you know, just the guidance that you have prepared, how can they contact you?
Yeah, of course, no problem. So if anyone wants to reach out to discuss prior or is facing any issues and would like some support and help, they can reach us at info@orbitus.ie or on 0667169033.
Fantastic. Well, Jennifer, it's been lovely to have you on the show and thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me.
And thank you, Amber.